CJLO 1690 AM. Look at that, talking over the end of a song like I know what I'm doing, like I am a real professional. And then we bring up this. Come on. Fade in. Do what you gotta do. We'll have a bed track here. Right. Great Explosive, CJLO 1690 AM. Joined here in studio with members of House of Dusk. Expo DK. I can't even, every time I just expect you to go, to interrupt me and go, but you remember my name.
I was thinking about it. I saw the look.
And I was like, this is not going to go through. And also from Stregonaria, which I have to look at every time because I can't keep that one. The pronunciation of that does not help.
Think about Sepultura or stuff like that, you know.
Let's get into a serious topic, because every now and then I like to broach some serious things. I was at a metal festival this summer, and I was talking with a hard metalcore band, actually, and they have a record that just came out, Voice in Vain. In case you missed it, you can go to CJLO's website and listen to that interview right now, currently. Also, while you're there, why don't you donate to CJLO? I'm just saying, cjlo.com/donate, or cjlofundingdrive.com. Officially, it's over, but I know all you rebels out there listening right now, you're like, rules, they're meant to be broken, so just donate to things. Anyway, circling back around, I was talking with Voices in Vain, and the latest record that they put out is kind of about sort of the lead singer's mental health issues. And so I asked him and all of them this question, but I'm interested to hear what everyone's take is, especially during this, the spoopy time of year that all of us are in. Do you think that people in metal are better equipped to kind of deal with the kind of dark emotions, darkness of the world? Or do you think that we're kind of in a worse position because we're so close to it? It's one of those things where it's like, by dealing with it, do we become more immune to it? Or does it make us more susceptible to kind of the sort of like mental health issues that kind of plague people in general?
Well, I'll go. In my opinion, I think, like us metalheads and stuff, we try to mask ourselves that we embrace these kind of things, but deep down, we're like, I feel like we deal with it a lot more, and we just don't want to be open about it. Unfortunately, that is like the sad truth for like the majority of people, and because I feel like metalheads, they have like a face who pretty much like I don't even know how to say it, but like a quota to always match, basically saying like, oh, you know, we are the tough guy, whatever, but you know, deep down we actually have emotions, we're going through a lot of stuff. And I guess a lot of people just don't want to like destroy that perception that, you know, like everything's being taken care of, when in reality it's not, or at least that's the case for me and a bunch of people I know as well. It's different for everyone, but that's just what I think.
It's awfully quiet over on this side.
I'm looking at Rob. I'm looking at Rob. Rob, you want to say something or taking the fifth, pleading the fifth? I would say. I mean, it really depends on your disposition as a person and what you do, what your expectations are out of life, right? Whether you have empathy, compassion for others. I definitely believe that people who play heavier music or people who delve into these darker topics have an understanding of them, and it helps them relate to others. And that's what, you know, that's what makes heavy music, that type of stuff, important.
Yeah.
You know? So there's that, and I think just musicians in general or people in any creative field.
Like artists in general.
I mean, anybody who's doing anything media, art, anything creative, you know,
you work with your feelings, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you're working with your feelings, so you're going to be more sensitive, and it's just generally harder to do than anything else. It's not like you can walk in, you can't always walk into a place and say, hey, can you give me a job, you know? It's like you really have to go and make your own destiny, so that has its own weight.
It also feels like if you're an artist, you're kind of trying to tap into what would be the human experience, right? Yeah. And part of that is sort of the anger, the depression that goes along with just being alive on this earth.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah, it would feel weird to be like, we're an artist, but we don't deal with any of that. We only deal with these positive things over here.
I think they call that toxic positivity.
Yeah, I believe that's part of what that is. Is there another part, another thing that kind of goes along with this is this, I mean, as we all sit here, how many of us are, you know, wearing entirely black hoodies even going
usually,
through here?
Usually I'm very colorful, but I, you know, it's just by chance I'm wearing just black right now.
Is, what is... I don't know quite, I never know how to form this question, but I've always been sort of interested in kind of the juxtaposition of the kind of uniformity of what metal has as far as presentation, like as all of us sit here in all black, versus the idea that metal puts out of, like, you know, being an individual who kind of goes against, you know, everything that, well, society in general, right? To be underground, to be counterculture. It does feel weird then that all of us kind of present in the same sort of way. I never really know how to formulate a question around that, but I just think that's weird, and I wonder if I'm the only person that, I guess, has thought about that or considered what that kind of, what kind of the general messaging underneath that is.
I'd say it's a uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's something that you represent.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a uniform. Plus, come on. It's heavy music. We all want to look tough.
That's true.
Come on.
That's
true. At the end of the day, I mean, I wouldn't look good in a yellow shirt, would you?
I used to have a yellow shirt.
Really?
I got rid of it, yeah. I
had you got rid of it?
Yeah, I had an Electric Six, like, yellow shirt. It was like mustard yellow, and I was like, for a while, I was like, I really like this shirt. And then I saw a picture of myself that someone took, and I'm like, oh no, we have to get rid of this immediately. It's because
most people who play metal are pale, and pale people look good in white. Not in white, in black.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, people don't look good in white.
It's true. Like, if I'm wearing a white shirt, people are like, please put a shirt on. Like, you're way... like, you should
nice tan lines.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
nice tan lines.
What do you think, Rob?
Well, I want to go back on what you said about that the question about the feelings and everything to do with the metal. You know, for me, it's definitely a way to channel the energy to... Also, to freedom of speech, we could say things that, you know, that some people you can't say really in a conversation, or that could be controversial, or, you know, that could be an oppression to the powers that be. That's how I look at it, you know. So, yeah, man, the heavier sometimes all that anger and that negativity, it has to flow somewhere. And we're playing heavy metal, which is fast paced, heavy music. So I want to set the mood. The more I go, it's starting to get heavier and faster. And
it's an outlet.
Yeah, you know.
And thrash kind of sits in an interesting kind of groove in this area as well, because there are, like, basically two types of thrash bands. There's the serious, I'm using air quotes, thrash bands here, and then the ones who are like, yeah, man, we're just here to party.
No, we're not that kind of band, you know. Yes, we do party on our own time, but when it comes to the music performances, you know, I try to keep it the most professional. We wear a dress shirt on stage.
Good stuff.
You know, that's what
in true thrash tradition, wearing a dress shirt on stage.
Yeah, dress shirt with the black stud belt and the eye tops, man.
Hey man, if it works, then dude, go through and do it. Here's a question that is kind of not related to either of these things we've been talking about.
Oh, amazing transition.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'm also interested. That's what it is. I'm interested in all these things, so therefore I'm asking them. But what are you guys judging success by at this point? Because I mean, this might be especially interesting to hear kind of the juxtaposition of newer people versus someone who's been doing it for a while. It used to be like, hey, we're on a label. We've reached the pinnacle of success. That's it. But now there seems to be a lot more of a push of like, hey, we put out a record now. That is the pinnacle of success. Or we have like 100 or 1,000 spins on Spotify this month. That's success to us. What does it look like for you guys? Like, when you put out this single album, what is success going to look like? How will you measure it?
Yeah, well, for me, honestly, it's more of like, okay, we have a plan and we actually go through with it. And we finish it. and we release a song that we're actually happy with. You know, because I've been we've been sitting on this demo that we just played recently. We've been sitting on it for quite a while now, and like we were not happy with it. So right now we are just redoing everything, and hopefully it becomes successful in a sense that we're happy with it. Mm. And if other people can be happy, well, not maybe not happy happy, but like enjoy listening to the music that we make, that makes me happy. You know.
All right. Yeah, I get it. I understand it.
I guess my take on success, well, you know, we're a band that we just started. We've been together for almost 2 years, but we started performing as of late February last year. And I feel like every new show or new venue or a new band you're playing with, you know, we actually got to go out of town, open up for bands from Toronto in town. So all these little things are like success and achievements to me. So even all the smaller goals eventually will lead to the bigger piece of the picture. So I look at everything as success. As long as there's a progression and you don't stay in the same spot,
that's it.
You're going somewhere. You know, it's not about being on a label. It's not about making it big. It's about keeping it consistent and being happy with the music.
Yeah.
And also the fans and the people that listen to it, you know, they could dig it. You create a mood. It's all about the music for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I would second that. I mean, I also agree. I agree with what both these dudes said. And for me, as someone who's been doing it a long time, if I can pay my, you know, I do this and I pay my bills with it. I also do other work. If you need a graphic designer, Johnny Beretta, web design. But yeah, man. I mean, if I'm able to continue doing it and be able to get paid doing it and assemble an audience and be continually growing and releasing music and getting better and connecting with people, that to me, that's a success. I really want to connect with people, and I want whatever is put out to elicit an emotional response.
Yeah, I was talking with Mike from Born Broken. I did an interview with him.
Yeah,
And he was talking.
Mike Decker or Mike?
Yeah,
Marino?
Mike Decker.
All right.
And he was saying about that as well. And like, as someone who doesn't make music, who just plays things from other people, because I'm an untalented hack. It must be like kind of an amazing feeling to have to be play a show and feel that connection with a crowd, because there are so many shows that you'll get where you might not feel that, but once it hits, like, that must be something that is an amazing feeling to feel. And as someone who hasn't experienced that, I don't even know how what to compare.
How do you feel at the end of one of your shows? Like you're live right now, so how are you going to feel like when you shut down?
I feel good, but the thing is, I don't know if there's any connection to anyone outside of this, right?
You want the exchange.
When people aren't here, like, I'm just talking to myself and maybe someone's listening, but you guys have direct contact with people out there. What is that feeling like? Like, what,
honestly,
is there anything comparison you
honestly,
have to?
That's like the best feeling in the world. Yeah. When you're performing and everyone in the crowd is like enjoying it, like there's a mosh or like they're singing the words that you're singing as well. Mm. That's the best feeling in the world, you know? Because you're putting emotions to it that you can connect with other people, and being relatable to someone else, for like to have something in common, that it feels good. It feels amazing.
I kind of go with what he said. You know, it's amazing to connect with people. Like when you see them, you're on stage, you see people moshing. Or at my last show, we were covering Oldie Wars for Megadeth, and somebody was right there in front and singing all the lyrics. So to see the connection with people, it's a beautiful thing, and what music could do to people, you know?
Yep. Is it different? Does it feel different to have a band or have people connect with you over a cover versus an original song?
Yeah, it won't be as personal as like a song that you make, mm-hmm. but still, like, it's a connection, because, like, let's say you ordered cheese pizza. I also like cheese pizza, mm-hmm. but did you make it? No, but we both enjoy the same thing. So to me, it's like, okay, it's a cover song that we both love and that we can connect over.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, there's only a couple minutes left here of the show, so let's talk about what's coming up here on November 1st.
Now, what is coming up?
Why,
I have no idea.
I think there's a show happening on November
1st. Is that so?
I think so, at Petroviv. And I think there's bands that are going to be playing at it. Oh, I wish I knew any of the members of the band so I could talk to them about the show. But
wait,
alas, I guess I can't.
Didn't you just do that the last 2 hours?
Wait, I think I did. But do you have anything special planned aside from, you know, the contest that people can win $100 for their costumes, the cheaper price to get in for costumes? Is there any other Halloween-y things? Are you going to chuck the hardest hard candies into the crowd as possible?
Well, the only way to really know is to be there.
Oh.
You want to know, you got to show.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, I'm a shower, not a grower.
I mean, we're gonna have four great bands. Pardon me,
including Nightbreaker, who's not here.
Including Nightbreaker. Just the vibe, man. You want to have that like awesome Halloween heavy vibe. That's what it's gonna be. You know,
come
that
on down.
Come on down.
Well, everyone, go check out these three bands plus Nightbreaker. On the first, show starts at... Actually, it doesn't say here what time the show starts. 8 p.m.?
Doors
at 8?
Doors at 8.
Doors at 8.
Show starts at 8:30.
Okay. So show up in your nicest, funnest, most ridiculous costume. I don't know what will win this contest. So
I'll know it when I see it. Dressed to impress.
We're going to, and what we should do is the best costume that everyone in the crowd enjoys. You know,
yeah,
like a crowd
that,
vote.
It'll probably be a crowd vote.
We should.
If there's
that.
A crowd,
yeah. We should pick out like the best ones we think are the coolest or whatever, for whatever reason,
and then we do a crowd vote.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what's going to happen.
That is what's happening.
That's good, because that was actually going to be my next question of how you would judge it. And now we all know it was decided here.
Then I'll
it
come
was
out.
Decided on the spot.
Or if you would like to come out dressed as Caesar, we can have the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Yeah. That would be amazing, actually. So costume change mid-set to do it. Well, I think what I should do here, and now that I've. Everyone, you should. I'm a little bit torn, because I don't know if I should advise people to get tickets ahead of time or to get them at the door in costume and therefore be cheaper.
I would recommend, because I'm a man of the people, dress up, come to the show, and pay $10 at the door.
Yeah.
That's the incentive. We want people to come out.
We want people to come dressed up.
Yeah.
Come on. Like,
we want to play to people. We want to connect with people. That's important to us. So.
In this economy, $5 can buy you a nice drink tonight.
Sponsor a musician now, please.
Yeah. Please.
Every day, musicians to Sarah McLachlan starts playing in the background. And I guess what I should do here is I should end off with some positive notes from the audience here who have been listening to this the whole time. So first off, talking about the last Expo Decay song, here's a quote. I was drinking my coffee. I quickly realized I had to put my cup down slowly as the song had enough caffeine in it. And I didn't want to OD on caffeine. And I just had to headbang to it.
Wow. So I appreciate it. Wow.
There's a quote right there. You can use that
Amazing.
When you put it out.
Testimonial.
For House of Dust, you apparently have one of the greatest voices out there and is inspiration to more people than you realize.
That's got to be someone I know.
That sounds like a fortune cookie type of thing right there. Like, I'd open it up and be like, you're an inspiration to more than you realize. In bed. What?
I'm going
to
post that on my... tattoo that on my forehead.
Tattoo it on your forehead.
And then, finally, this one actually... I don't know if this was like, I've put out all of my effort into these other two. Can't wait to hear the first single. Which...
For sure, yeah. It's coming soon.
Yeah, what's the timeline look like for people to get...
Right now, we're still in studio this week. I'm recording vocals, and then I got to do reamping, mixing and mastering. But maybe probably like towards the end of mid-November, at the end of the November, we should be hearing something. But if you want to see the rough job version of the single, you could go watch the 45-minute set list.
Yes, yeah. All on YouTube. Go check them out.
Done by A&R, which is my production... Because I run a production company. We do live shows. We offer footage. Even though it's still small, at least we're still growing day by day, and we're
That's
we have more content coming out.
That's it.
If you want to work with two amazing people, Rob and his girlfriend Alex, A&R Productions. Really, they're solid people. They will make sure you're taken care of. That's what we want in this city. You know?
Exactly. Everybody, stick together. That's what we're doing out there. Well, thank you all for coming in and joining me here in studio and talking about the show on November 1st at Opetroviv. And coming up next is Bill's Country and Western Hour, because that follows metal very nicely.
Yeah.
Free Format Radio, cjlofundingdrive.com. Thank you all for coming in.
Well, and, thank you for having us.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Thank you for having us, and thank you to the audience for listening.
And I'll catch all of you next week. Keep it locked. CJO 1690 AM.